This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Courtney Stewart, star reporter over at The Hook, readthehook.com. She joins me on the program. Courtney, the University of Virginia last night at 6 o'clock, with only about an hour's notice for media, had a major press conference at the University of Virginia. What was the message of the press conference?
Hi, Coy. Well, the message, I think, was to just maybe deflect some blame from the university. That seemed to be what was happening, claiming that they had no knowledge of this previous arrest down near Lexington or in Lexington. Just a lot of saying we didn't know. The lacrosse coach, Don Starzia, wasn't actually there, so nobody could ask him anything.
Have reporters been able to get a hold of him?
We haven't, and I have yet to see him quoted in any other publications. He's not responding. Their press people respond, but he has not directly responded in any way.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. So Dom Starzia's on lockdown. Reporters can't get to him, but a lot of folks at the university were there yesterday saying, you know, and we have every reason to believe these people. We didn't know, and we would have loved to have known, but the police in Lexington never told us, and we didn't know. They are not saying that the coach didn't know. But the athletics director and the dean of students and the president, all these folks came forward and said, we had no idea that this kid was having these problems.
Right. That's how it went last night. Today, I did email Carol Wood, who is the spokesperson, and I'd asked a bunch of questions, but one of them being, you know, the university's position on Coach Starzia, and she got back to me just with that partial answer, saying that we stand fully behind the coach. She didn't elaborate on that. But that seems to be the position that they're taking right now.
And now the Washington Post also has an article today with a little bit more history about this kid's problems and problems with alcohol and police and.
Yeah, I mean, there appear to be several incidents that have occurred over the last few years, and maybe more that we haven't even yet heard about. But certainly the ones that are coming out today, you've got the arrest down in Lexington. That came out yesterday, I guess. But that arrest in which he ended up being tasered and really being aggressive and yelling threats and slurs at this female police officer.
Well, allegedly threatening to kill her. Yeah.
Yeah, saying I'll kill you. I'm not saying I'm not going to jail. Then being tasered and then not remembering that she was a female officer or that he had been tasered. That was sort of stunning, and it really suggested just perhaps how much alcohol he had consumed to have blacked out to the point that he wouldn't remember either of those two details, particularly the tasering. So there's that. Then I think it was in the Post a mention of an altercation at the Deke fraternity house, Delta Kappa Epsilon, in which a couple of lacrosse players from another school had to break up some kind of altercation between Yardley Love and George Hughley. So you got that. And then yet another report of something where he had jumped off a 40-foot yacht down in Florida. His family has property down, I think it's Palm Beach County, and where it was this altercation on a boat with his dad. He jumps off the boat and starts trying to swim for shore, and his dad calls whatever backup you call when you're on a boat, who come and have to pluck him out of the water.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. It's 15 minutes after 4 o'clock. So, Courtney, the Washington Post is also reporting, it's an interesting angle, and we're hearing more of this. They report, in fact, the lead says 8 of the 41 players on the roster of the University of Virginia men's lacrosse team, including the accused murderer, have been charged with alcohol-related offenses during their careers at the school, according to court records.
Yeah, I saw that also, and I think it's interesting. I feel like I don't understand quite how significant it is without having some numbers about students in general or about other sports teams or about just some comparisons.
Yeah, there's next to no context in this article.
So without context, I don't know if it's really just that, you know, these days all 20, early 20-something college students have records for alcohol infractions, or if it really is true that lacrosse players or athletes have more problems. You know, I'm interested. I'm going to be looking into that some.
Yeah, and also, tell us about your latest post. You just posted this afternoon another story.
I did. I think there's been a lot of confusion about how this could have been initially reported as a possible alcohol overdose. You know, that's how it came out when we all first got this press release from the city. It said police responded to a possible alcohol overdose. They're treating the investigation as a homicide, which had everybody sort of scratching their heads for about 3 hours until suddenly, you know, just so soon afterwards, they're announcing an arrest. And then, of course, within 24 hours, we're seeing this affidavit that has just the brutal nature of this attack and the detailing some of the injuries she suffered, including, you know, bruising on her face, an eye swollen shut, blood in her pillow, all this stuff. So people are wondering, how in the world could these two roommates who discovered her not have called in a brutal assault instead of...
How do you miss that?
Well...
How do you stand over a bed of somebody laying in a pool of blood and miss that?
I talked to Chief Longo about that, and he was speculating that perhaps it was because she was face down on the bed, but I did a little more thinking about that, and they're not going to release the 911 tapes, so we're not going to have proof, but it seems to me that it's possible that these roommates called in for an unresponsive female, and depending on what they said, they may have been panicked. They may have just been saying, "We can't wake her up. Come quickly." And it could have been something where the rescuer is responding, just thinking that they were responding to a student housing complex, thought alcohol overdose was the most likely scenario.
That's an excellent point. And for those of us in the news business who've listened to those, listened to police scanners for years, it's sort of logical to think that the 911 caller would have reported, you know, hey, it's a possible alcohol related, they can't wake her up, you know, or somebody may have assumed, the EMT on the way may have assumed that this was alcohol.
They could have said, has she been drinking? And they may have known that she was out earlier, and they may have said yes. And, you know, I mean, who knows, you know, what was said. I don't want to try to guess or spread misinformation, but it seems possible to me that they absolutely did notice her injuries, and they absolutely did notice a hole in the door or a disturbance in her room, but that somehow that message was initially reported Monday morning as a possible alcohol overdose.
We're talking with Courtney Stewart of The Hook. It's 18 minutes after 4 o'clock here in Central Virginia. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. According to last night, thousands of people piled into the McIntyre Amphitheater on grounds at the University of Virginia for a candlelight vigil for their classmate Yardley Love. It was quite a turnout.
It was. I have just looked at the slideshow today. Unfortunately, it was not there. But from what I see, it was thousands of people. A lot of heartbreak. You know, it's devastating.
Yeah, and I guess everybody in this community around the country should be asking the question, how do we make sure something like this doesn't happen again? I mean, to me, that is the question. What do you do to make sure that this doesn't happen again? And the university was very upfront yesterday with, we have a number of programs, and they do. I mean, I know some of these people who do this at the university. They have a number of fantastic programs that reach out to kids with problems, and they're always saying, you know, get in touch with us. We have experts here if you need help. But they miss this kid somehow.
Well, this kid, I mean, this George, I think it's Huey or Hugh. Anyway, he actually, following his arrest in Lexington in Rockbridge County, he was put into an alcohol and substance abuse treatment program. And I don't remember off the top of my head how many sessions it was, but he completed that to satisfaction. And so he had court-ordered treatment. So he had had some education on, you know, alcohol awareness. And
yeah.
He continued, you know, on his way. I don't think we have absolute proof, although I've heard reports and seen it written, that he may have been drinking that day.
Yeah. Didn't he have to get when he was arrested and tasered in Lexington and threatened to kill the police officers? Didn't he was sentenced, right? I mean, he didn't do jail time, but he had a suspended sentence.
He had a suspended sentence, and then he had to perform community service. And that community service was done at the Blue Ridge Food Bank here in Charlottesville, where he reportedly got great you know, great review, completed it to satisfaction, did a good job. It appears that he was doing that service during the lacrosse season, or unless he completed it all in a couple of weeks, because it looked to me like his conviction was January 09, and the lacrosse season is going to start soon thereafter. I think their first games are usually like late February or March.
So it's very likely that he was doing serving community service for the incident in Lexington while he was practicing with his team.
Yeah, that's right. So it's hard to understand how people couldn't have been aware that he had this commitment unless he really just kept it to himself or presented it as just a personal choice to volunteer. Or, you know, I mean, there's any number of things he could have done, but it is hard to imagine how those two things could have overlapped without ever having any sort of conflict or anyone aware of it.
Courtney Stewart of The Hook, you can read her work online and that of her fellow reporters there in the newsroom at readthehook.com. You can also see her on Nancy Grace on CNN on occasion talking about this very story. Courtney, thanks for the update.
Thank you so much, Coy.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.